welcome to lecture today. Glad to see you all here. Before we begin, any comments, questions, concerns, or other things for me? Yes?
For the homework, are comments required in the programs?
For the homework, are comments required? No.
No?
I'd encourage you to get in the habit of writing them because your life will be easier if you do. But we're not assigning grades to the existence of comments. With one exception, you should have a comment that has your name and computing ID somewhere in your file, preferably at the top. And with the always exception, if you get help from somebody else that isn't course staff, you should put who helped you or what helped you in a comment as well. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Great. Other questions? Yes?
Yeah, can I ask a past quiz question?
You may ask a past quiz question as long as the quiz is actually closed. So not the quiz is open today?
No.
Great.
For the first question, don't you have a declare this type of variable x is? So it's like x equals 3. Does it need to be like...
I need to have had that declared at some point, but it doesn't have to be declared anywhere close to that line of code.
Okay.
So the line of code is fine. X equals 3 is a fine thing to say. It doesn't exist in a vacuum, right? It has to be in a public class and in a public static void, main, and then inside that we have to declare the variable, but it's still a fine piece of code.
Thank you.
Yes?
Did you say for the homework, midnight of the day or midnight?
What time is the homework due? The homework due is due on Wednesday. If you submit it on Wednesday or before in the current time zone, you did it on time. Unless I have a time written, which I don't believe I do. If there's a time written, the time that's written down on the homework assignment itself is more accurate than what I just said. But if there's no time written, any time during that day is on time. I don't think I put a time on it, but I might have. I don't trust myself now. Other questions? Yes? Sorry? For count words, yeah?
It says we need to make our program to read two whole lines.
Correct. So one line is what you're looking inside of, and the other line is what you're using to look. Okay? So one line is what you're searching inside of, the other line is what you're searching for. You don't want to read two lines of stuff to search inside of, just one to search inside of, one to search for. Other questions? Okay, some announcements. Tomorrow I fly off to talk at a conference. Professor Mark Sheriff, who taught this class for 3 years before I took it over, will come in and lecture to you and keep you up to date on what you need to know. So there will be class on Wednesday and Friday. I personally won't be here. Homework 2 will come out on Wednesday on schedule and so on. So you'll have all of that happening. Because I'm leaving town, I won't be holding office hours tomorrow or the rest of the week, but the TAs still will, and they cover most reasonable times of the day, so feel free to go there and ask them questions. I think that's the only announcement I have. So with that, let's move on to the topic for today. Okay? So that I have some context in my conversation, I read at least the first 3 pages of chapter 3. Okay. All right, so far we know how to write programs that read input, do stuff, and print it out. We know a little bit about math. You'll get to play some more with math in lab this week. Okay? But it turns out that very often I don't always want to do the same thing. Sometimes I want to do one thing, sometimes I want to do another. Okay? So we're going to learn about a construct in Java that allows us to make something only sometimes happen. Like most of what we'll talk about this week and next, we've seen little pieces of this before when we are dealing with Turtle, but we'll talk about it in depth. So let's start by making ourselves a scanner like we usually do that reads from system.in. Okay, so I'll make myself a scanner. I should not put the semicolon in the next line. Make myself a scanner, I will print something out, and I will say, type a number. because I haven't decided what the number is going to mean yet. We're going to play around with numbers so we can see how this works, right? So then I will take the number they give me by using the scanner's next double command to get a double value, right? And then what we're going to do is we're going to make this program tell us interesting things about the number, where interesting is defined loosely. So before I get on to some new material, we've seen all of this before. Anybody have any questions about anything that I've already put on the board? All right. So in general, we might want to say something like, oh, how about we say that n is a positive number? Okay? We might want to say that about the number. And so we can just do that. And so I can type my number 34, and 34.0 is a positive number. I might type my number negative 13, and it also says that negative 13 is a positive number. And I don't want it to do that. I only want it to say it's positive if it actually is. Okay? So we're going to learn the piece of Java that lets us do that. It's called an if statement. A statement, we've mentioned this a couple times in passing, but just to remind you, a statement is one of these things we're telling Java to do. One of these things that's ended in a semicolon is a statement. An if statement is made out of another statement, but it only sometimes happens. It only happens if something is true. An if is spelled in Java, if, and then the case in parentheses. So I can say if n is greater than 0. I just put that in front of a statement, and now that statement, instead of just being a straight, simple println, is an if statement println. Okay? And it only applies to that one line of code. It doesn't go anywhere else. We very rarely write them like this, and we'll see why in a moment. Okay? But I can just put if something in parentheses in front of my statement. So now I type my number, negative 11, and it says negative 11 was the number, but it does not say negative 11 is a positive number. I do it again with 3. It says 3 is a positive number, and 3 was the number. Okay? They both showed up on the same line because I said print instead of println. So I'll change those into println's to make things a little nicer. Okay? And so now when I type positive numbers, I get that both things happen. If I type negative numbers, I get only the second one happening. Questions? Okay. It's really uncommon to write if this way. Because if I do it this way, the if only applies to one statement. And usually, there's a whole series of things I want to do only if something was true. So the usual way to write if is by following it with an open curly brace and putting a closing curly brace later on. By putting curly braces instead of just a single statement, everything that's inside the curly braces will only happen if that was true. Okay? So now, by having curly braces, I can keep adding more and more statements in there, or take them away, however I want to do it. If they're in the curly braces, they're part of this compound statement part, this block part of what happens if it was true and doesn't if it's not. So now when I run this and I type 3, I see 3 was a positive number. We like 3. 3 was the number. Two of them happening because of the if, one happening anyway. If, on the other hand, I type 0, I just see 0 is the number. It skips the stuff that was in the if, inside the curly braces associated with it. So curly braces let us put several things here. Because this is the normal way, the most common thing we want, we will almost always put curly braces, even if we only have one thing to do. It will make it it'll be simpler to just always put them. It doesn't have to be. I can just put one statement after the if. But in general, we'll put curly braces and several things. questions? Okay. In order for ifs to work, we have to have something to put in the parentheses. Now I just wrote something greater than something, and it worked. And that's fine, that will work. This here, though, is an expression. Just like 2 plus 3 is an expression. It's taking two values, n and 0, and producing one value out of them. That one value it's producing is either true or false. It's a Boolean type of value. Okay? And any statement, any expression rather, that produces a Boolean value will work here. Okay? Anything that'll tell me either true or false, I can put in that spot. So the simplest are the comparison operators. Okay? Java has several comparison operators. It's got less than, it's got greater than, just as you'd expect it would. Okay? So I can also say if n is greater than 0, that works just as well. Okay? So I've got less than, I've got greater than. I also have is the same as. Okay? The is the same as, we normally write as an equal sign, but equals means something else in Java. It already means change a value in a variable. So instead of a single equal sign, we put two equal signs. Two equal signs means compare them. If they're the same, give me true. If they're not, give me false. Where one equal sign means change the value that's in the variable named on the left into the value of the thing on the right. So for comparisons, we use two equal signs. We've got three more that are related to these three basic comparison operators. We've got less than or equal to, and because most keyboards do not have a less than or equal to key, we write it as a less than sign followed by an equals to sign. The same way we would say it in English, less than or equal to, rather than equal to or less than. Okay, so the less than must come first. And same thing for greater than or equal to. The greater than comes first when we're typing, just like it comes first when we're speaking. You can't swap that order. Okay? And then the last one is not equal to. Exclamation point in most programming languages means not. And so exclamation point equals means not equal to. Why does exclamation point mean not? Basically because they needed something to mean not, and it was the key on the keyboard that wasn't being used. There's no magic to it. There's no reason to it. It's just that's what it means. Okay? So I have less than, greater than, equals, not greater than or equal, less than or equal, or not equal. Six things I can do to compare values. And any of those can be used in an if statement. And indeed, I can use them anywhere I want inside an if statement. So, for example, I could say if n equals 42, we can say 42 is the answer. Okay? So I can put an if statement inside another if statement. I can mix and match however I want my comparisons to work. Okay? So now when I type 12, I will see that the two things that happen for 0 happen, but the thing that happens for 42 doesn't. And then the thing that always happens happens as well. Or if, on the other hand, I type 42, I will see we also get that 42 piece. Okay? So I can put these if statements inside of each other. I can use any comparison operators I want. There are six of them to choose from to make my program do what I want it to do. Any questions? All right, then. There's a few more interesting things about these if statements that we should see. Okay? So one of the interesting things that happens is often I'm going to do something if one thing was true and something else if it wasn't. Okay? So maybe I want to write it was a positive number if it was positive, but if it wasn't positive, I'd want to write it's a negative number. Okay? And I could say if n is less than 0, I make my own if statement down here, right? And so I have in greater than 0 and in less than 0, and one of the two will be true, and away we go, unless n happens to equal 0, so maybe I should actually make that less than or equal to 0. Okay? And this is a perfectly fine way of getting things to one or the other happen. Two if statements back to back with opposite conditions, opposite guard statements. Okay? I can do this, but there's problems with this. The first one is that programmers are lazy, and that's a whole set of characters I didn't have to type if we made some way of saying either this or that instead of just either this or nothing. The second one is I now have two places in my code that need to be synchronized. If I change one, I also have to change the other. And I really don't like that. I really only have one place to change something. So Java lets me put what's called an else statement immediately after an if statement. So immediately after an if statement and only immediately after an if statement, I'm allowed to put an else statement, which will only happen if the if part didn't. So if the if part happens, then great, that happens. Otherwise, the else part happens. So with this piece of code here, if I type 3, I get 3 is positive, we like 3, 3 was the number. If I type negative 3, I get negative 3 was a negative number, negative 3 was the number. Okay? So if the if didn't happen, the else does. One of the two always will. But only one of the two. Questions? Yes?
If you have two ifs and then one else, will the else occur the second if?
Good question. All right, let's have two ifs and one else. Let's put another if up here. What should we make this if be? If n equals 0, then print out n is neither positive nor negative. Okay? So if n is 0, pronounce neither positive or negative. If it's greater than 0, pronounce positive. Else pronounce negative. Okay? What do you think will happen? How many of these blocks, how many of these things in curly braces do you think I can get to have happen? Is there any way of getting both, is neither positive and negative, and one of the other two? You're welcome to talk to your neighbors and decide this. If you think there isn't, great. If you think there is, figure out what the number is. In a moment, I'll ask you to tell me. Poll first. Is it possible to get it to print, it is neither positive nor negative, and also to print one of the other two, it's positive or it's negative? Yes, it's possible to get both of those happen. No, it isn't. I really don't know how to tell. Okay, so the majority of you think it's possible. How? What do I need to type to make it happen? 0. Why 0? And what will it say? Okay, so if it's 0, then it's equal to 0, so I'll do the equals to 0 thing. When I'm done with that, where will the program go next? Go down to this if. Is 0 greater than 0? Nope. So we're going to go down to the else and print out it was negative. So we say it's neither positive nor negative, and it's negative when I type 0. Okay? The else always attaches to the most recent if. And that most recent if must be the most recent thing in the program. I can't put anything between the if and the else. Nothing at all. Okay? Question? Ah, good question. Okay? So shouldn't the else attach to the 42? No. And the reason is because the 42 was just part of the greater than zero statement. Okay? The curly braces bind together several other statements into one statement. And this one statement with these outer curly braces is the one that was attached to n greater than zero. So that's the statement that just finished when we see else. So that's what else attaches to. Yes?
Can you put an if command within an else command?
Can I put an if inside an else? Absolutely. Let's do it. What shall we say? If n is less than negative 100, we are going to print out, how about really negative? Okay? We should make that more emphasized. Okay? So yes, absolutely, I can put an if anywhere I want. So I can now type negative 3, it's a negative number. I type negative 300, it's a negative number, really negative. Okay? I could put ifs and elses, I could put an else after that if. I could put another if inside them. There's no limit to how, where I can put these things. They can go anywhere a statement can go. Okay? So I'm allowed to put an else here. Okay? And then I could put ifs and elses inside of either of those ifs or elses. There's no limit to where I can put them. Anywhere any statement can go, an if can go. Anywhere an if just finished, I can also put an else. Any other questions? Yes?
Can you say boundaries between 10 and 20?
Ah, good question. Okay. I'm actually going to make myself a new class for that, so we have a clean place to play with what can we do with these conditions. So I'll name this about comparisons. All right, so the question was, can I make a boundary? Let's make an int x that equals 3. I don't feel like making a scanner today. Okay. And then I want to say if x, so let's say if 0 is less than x is less than 10. Then we're going to print out system.out.println x is a single digit number. Okay? So here's what I want my program to do. If x is in this range, and I spell system correctly, I want it to print out as a single digit number. But I get a red squiggly. Why do I get a red squiggly? What is wrong with that statement? And to understand this, we have to remember that Java is treating less than in the same way it treats plus. Okay? Less than is an operator. It takes the number on either side of it and combines them into either true or false. So when I say 0 is less than x is less than 10, Java comes along and says, okay, we do most operations left to right. So that's the same thing as 0 less than x in parentheses less than 10. 0 less than x is the same thing as, in this case, true, right? Okay? So true is less than 10. And that doesn't make sense. It's nonsense to say that true is less than 10. I can't answer that statement. I can't turn that into either true or false. It's nonsense. So if I try to say this, Java won't let me. I see why this is problematic from Java's point of view. I don't get why it's problematic. Okay, so we can't do this. But we want to do this kind of thing fairly often. So Java gives us more operators that only work between two Booleans. Okay? So a Boolean, again, is either true or false. And if I want to say I want it both 0 less than x and x less than 10, which is what this is saying, I have to say that explicitly. I have to say that I want 0 to be less than x and I want x to be less than 10. Now, for reasons that are partially lost in the sands of history, and is spelled in Java and most programming languages with two ampersands, not just one. Java will let you type just one, but it will do the wrong thing most of the time. Not always. Okay? And is spelled with two ampersands. So now I say I only want to do this if 0 is less than x and x is less than 10, which is what the math that we tried to write before would mean in mathematics. And I can also do or if I want. Okay? So I can say if x is less than 0 or x is greater than 100, then x is not a number we teach in kindergarten. Okay? So or is spelled in Java for even stranger reasons as two vertical bars. The vertical bar on most keyboards is right above the enter key and you have to press shift to get it. Okay? So all look at your keyboards or look at your neighbor's keyboard if you don't have your computer. See where the vertical bar is. Learn to love it. Sometimes your keyboard will draw the vertical bar as if it was sort of a stretched out colon with a little gap in the middle, but it will never show up that way on your screen. Okay? It's just a vertical bar. And that means or instead of and. So if I were to run this program, I would see that x is a single digit number. If I change x to a double digit number, I see nothing. If I change it to a three digit number, I will see x is not a number we teach in kindergarten. Questions about and or? Okay, one more thing to know about and or. All operators have operator precedence. Multiplication happens before addition, and so on. That includes and or, as well as everything else, less than. They all have an order. And it's probably not worth your time remembering the order. Okay? So, usually, it's worth your while explicitly adding parentheses to make sure it does things in the right order. You can leave them out, and sometimes it'll work great, but as your expressions get more complicated, as the math you're trying to do gets more and more advanced, you will make the wrong remembrance. And so parentheses are a great idea. There's no downside to having too many of them unless you have a whole lot of them. At one point, Java had a problem if you had, I think it was more than 64 parentheses on a single line. I think that's gone away. I think the limit's now 65,000. But at some point, you actually can get too many and it gets confused. But it's a big number. So go ahead and add parentheses. They will never hurt you. Any other questions about this? Okay. There's one more logical operator, which is exclamation point. Exclamation point means not, and just swaps the truth value of whatever follows it. So not something that was true becomes false, not something that was false becomes true. Okay? So if I were to say not x greater than 0 or x greater than 100, kind of an odd statement here. Okay, so let's walk through what that would mean. If I were to look at this statement, not x greater than 0 or x greater than 100. Okay? So first I do whatever's inside the parentheses. Let's pick a reasonable value for x. Let's say x is, how about -3? Okay? So we'll substitute in the value for x. Then we'll turn the things into parentheses, into true or false. So -3 is not greater than 0, so that will be false. -3 is not greater than 100, so that will also be false. Okay? Then we will do the not thing to turn whatever is true into false and false into true. Okay? So now I've got true or false. And at this point, people get confused. Okay? So most people are not used to statements like true or false, except as the beginning of a question on a quiz. So what does this mean? If you're trying to figure out what a Boolean expression means, it can help to insert statements about yourself that actually are either true or false. Okay? So something that's true about me, I am having fun. Or something that's false about me, I am 7 feet tall. All right, is this statement true? I am either having fun or I am 7 feet tall. Yep, because I'm having fun, it's true. Okay? So or works if either one is true. And the book has a different way of talking about this with truth tables, and you can understand it that way if you want. Quite a nice explanation. But or is true if either are true, and is true if both are true. You can figure it out with English. It works out okay. Because the end result of this will be true if I give it -3. This can be confusing, and that's fine, right? It will become easier with practice. It's not something you need to worry a whole lot about, because usually what you'll do is you'll have something in your head about what the condition should be, and you'll just write whatever the right guard is to make whatever's in your head happen. And you won't have to worry about reading it very often. You just have to worry about writing it, which is a lot easier. Questions? Okay, so let's try ourselves a little practice. Okay, I'm going to go back to yesterday's lecture. And at the beginning of this lecture, I had this chart of deadlines for different kinds of declaring majors and minors. Right? If you're a first year CS student, you say to do the dean's office. If you're a second year CS student, you go to the CS office before February 17th, and so on. So here's what I want you to do. Okay? I'd encourage you to work with somebody sitting next to you. This will be more interesting and enjoyable that way. If you're not sitting next to anybody, shame on you, do so. Okay? I want you to write a program that will ask people information like, are you in C's? And what year are you? And so on. And tell them the correct information from this chart. Okay? That's the goal. So your program should ask the basic information, are you C's or college, you're planning to transfer and so on, whatever is appropriate here, and tell them where they're supposed to go. Before we do this though, we'll need one more piece I forgot to mention, so we'll mention it right now. When we are using equals or less than or greater than, these comparisons, they only work correctly for primitive values. Remember, primitive values were int, double, boolean, char. There are four more we never use. Okay? So less than, greater than, equals, equals, these all only work for those types of values. If I want to compare strings or other objects, okay? If I want to compare strings or other objects, I don't use equals equals. I use the equals method. Okay? So what I say here is I'm going to ask S if it is equal to T with saying dot equals. This is true of all object types. So if it's not a primitive, you can't use less than, you can't use equals equals. Sometimes Java will let it compile, but it will do the wrong thing. It will sometimes do the wrong thing in weird and unexpected ways. It works initially and then it stops working. If it's an object, you always use methods. And all objects, or nearly all objects, have an equals method. It's true if they're the same, false if they're different. Okay? So here I could say, I can print out whenever I want. So I can print out they're the same if they're the same. I can print out they're different if they're different. So if I want to compare strings or any other object, we use dot equals. Question about dot equals. Typically, I will describe this kind, the method, as dot equals, and the one you use on primitives as equals equals, because that's how you write them. Okay? Dot equals if it's not a primitive, equals equals if it is, and your life should work just fine. Okay, so write a bit of code, right? Make a scanner, ask them some questions, try to print out the right thing from this. Give you a few minutes to work on it, I'll wander around, see if you have questions and so on. We'll then come back together and see how this all fits together so we can see how if works in larger situations. Questions before we begin? Okay. All right, so those of you that haven't started on the homework are probably a little confused how to begin. So let me show you how we're going to begin, okay? So I'm going to make myself a new class. I'm going to call it CS Major Minor. You can call it anything you want because you're not turning it in. Okay? And I want this program to read input from the user and do something based on it. So I'm going to make a scanner. I'm going to call my scanner S because I like making short lines. It's going to read from the keyboard, which is system.in. Okay? It's going to be confused because it doesn't know what scanner is, so I can mouse over and say import it, or I could just happen to remember what the keyboard shortcut is to do that, because there's keyboard shortcuts for everything, and now it knows what the scanner is. I'm going to ask a question. I don't know what the question will be. You're welcome to think of your question. Maybe I will say, are you a C's student? Okay? I will ask the question. When we ask questions, we usually do with a print, not a println. And then I need to get the answer. So I'm going to get the answer by asking the scanner to give me the next thing it's got. I'll call that answer, actually. Okay, so I'm going to ask for the next word. Their answer is going to be the next thing they typed. And then I'll probably do something based on if that answer equals yes, then I'll do something, and if it doesn't, I'll do something else. Questions about this general structure? Let me talk about it. Yes?
How do you do the thing where you highlight like a whole bunch of stuff so that it doesn't run that?
How do you make it so it doesn't run some stuff? There are two ways to make something not run. One is // at the beginning of a line. I'll get rid of one line. If you really need to do a lot of lines, you can put /* at the begin and */ at the end. Other questions? Okay. I will leave this up for a few more than 30 seconds or so in case you need to copy this down. Then I'll switch back to what your output should look like. Go back about it. We'll give you another minute or so to work on it before you start walking through the full solution. Okay, let's talk a little about this code. Hey, if you're working and you're making progress, great, you're welcome to keep working while I talk. I'm going to walk through just a little idea of how we could solve this, all right? So there's several things I could ask. One way I could structure this code is I could say, are you a first year C student? Are you a second year C student? Okay, I could ask every single case one at a time. Or I could try to know some stuff from simpler questions. So I said, are you C's first? I will notice that there are three things that could happen for C's. Okay? They could be a first year, they could be a second year, they could be want to be declaring the minor. Okay? So after I know that they're C's, I now need to figure out major or minor now I need to figure out first year. Okay? So I can ask this information first. Come to think of it, I'm going to ask what year they are out front, because I'm going to need the year. I'm not going to need the year for college. Okay, so I'm going to ask what their major, minor, and what year they are. So let's do this. Let's say, what year are you? Okay? And then I'll get an int that's back, their year. A equals by scanners, next int. Okay? So I know they're a C student, I know what year they are. Now I need to know if they want the major or the minor. So I'm going to ask them, do you want a major or minor? And then I need to get the answer from that. Okay? I'm actually going to reuse the same answer variable because I'm done with the old one. I can make it a different answer variable. It doesn't matter. Okay? And they need to do something based on this information, right? So if their answer is equal to minor, then I need to print one piece of information, right? I need to say system.out.println by March 1st. But if it wasn't, right? If they weren't the minor, then I need to now check to see what year they are. So I could say if their year is equal to 1, then I want to do one thing. Otherwise, I'll do something else. And I'd start copying that information down as well. Okay? So what am I doing here, besides writing a lot of code very quickly? Okay? The basic idea here is that I ask them a question, and based on their answer, I might ask them more questions. I might not. If I need that information, I'll ask. If I don't, I won't. Okay? In fact, I should probably only ask them their year if they were going for the major. Okay? Because I don't actually need it for the minor. Right? So I can move things around into the place where I want it to happen. If I don't care, I don't need to put it there. Okay? So some of homework 2, which will be released on Wednesday, will have you things similar-ish to this, where you'll use if statements to figure out what you should say. I will also make one other comment here. Answer, you'll see I only made one variable for answer, and I changed what's inside of it. This may be a good idea, this may be a bad idea, okay? I was able to do that because I already checked its value up here. And so I didn't need it after that. Okay, but you can reuse variables. If you reuse them, don't retell them their type. So that's the basics of if and else. On Wednesday, Professor Sheriff will be here. He'll talk to you more about if and else and Booleans and help you understand them more. And we'll take it from there. Thanks.